Again, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. If you would, please stand if you are able, out of reverence for God's holy and perfect and living Word. This is the Word of the Lord. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and it is the inspired Word of God. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still alive in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the leaven and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. If you would, please pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your perfect and true word. This is your word. You've given it to us, even today, 2,000 years later. So, Father, by your Holy Spirit, do only by what you can do with it. Open our hearts, Father, to hear it. And by your Spirit, encourage us, convict us, and make us anew with what we hear about the risen, glorious Savior in the empty tomb. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin this morning by asking a question. I know I ask lots of questions in my sermon, but here's a simple one for you today. What were you expecting when you walked in here today? What were you expecting when you walked into this room? Were you truly hoping to encounter the living Christ? Were you truly hoping to encounter the living Christ, or were you expecting to just be something more routine? Because that question this morning, it matters. It matters. You see, it matters because the women in Luke 24, they were walking toward this tomb of Jesus that morning, and they weren't expecting at all what they found. They weren't expecting it. They were expecting death. That's what they were expecting. But they found life. Now, here's what I love about this passage that we have before us today, because Luke doesn't just give us a resurrection story about people who had it all figured out. He doesn't do that at all. No, he gives us confused women who came to finish a burial. He gives us apostles who dismissed the greatest news, the news in history as a tale. It's nonsense. And he gives us Peter who ran to the tomb and he goes home just marveling. Not worshiping, not celebrating, but marveling. Which is basically Luke's way of saying, Peter just didn't really know what to do with the news yet. And if that's you this morning, if you are like these different individuals, if you walked in here carrying maybe some doubt in your mind, or maybe it's just grief that's burdening you, maybe it's just plain exhaustion, and you walked in here, and if you're truly honest with yourself, you're just not really sure to know what to entirely do with this Jesus, then I can tell you, you're in exactly the right place. Because the resurrection, beloved, it doesn't come to people who have it all figured out, for people who were sitting there just ready for it. No, it came to people who were just overwhelmed by it. So this morning, we're going to look at this passage, and the way I've kind of gathered it together, I just see three kind of questions that are asked and posed upon us. Three questions, and it'll be our three points. The first is, why did the women come expecting a dead Jesus? The second, why do you seek the living among the dead? And the third, and I will say it's going to be the most important one, is what will you do with the empty tomb? What will you do with the empty tomb? So let us begin by, why did they come expecting a dead Jesus? Look at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Now we need to see what's really happening here, what's really going on. These women, they weren't coming to this tomb to celebrate, were they? No, they were coming to mourn. They were carrying burial spices to a graveyard before the sun had even come up. And every step that they take toward this grave, this tomb, it's basically an act of love. It's real love. It's a heartbroken love. It's the kind of love that goes to the grave at this point because it has nothing left to do. And what's amazing is this love, it's been building for days. A couple days have been going on now. You see, because these women, they didn't just hear about the crucifixion. No, they were literally there. They were at the crucifixion. Luke 23, if you look over a chapter, tells us that they followed from Galilee. They were at the cross when the apostles all disappeared and they all scattered. Because women, they watched the nails. They watched the blood. They watched the darkness just cover the land. And when it was all over, they saw a dead body on the cross. And from there, these women, they then followed Joseph of Arimathea. They watched him take the body down off the cross. They watched him wrap it in linen. They watched him carry the body to a tomb cut out of rock. They watched all this, and then they went home. They went home and they prepared their spices. They prepared their ointments. And then Luke says something here at the, if you look at the last verse of Luke chapter 23, after all that, right before our passage today in Luke 24, it says, on the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. They rested, not because they wanted to, but because the law required it. And I can only imagine, you're sitting there and all day long you can't leave. You're stuck at home. I'm wondering what that Sabbath is like, sitting with the burial spices already prepared and sitting there with nothing left to do but to grieve. But the Sabbath ended. And that moment that the Sabbath ended, the moment that they were free to go, they did go. They went. And we're told that it's before dawn in the dark, and they're carrying everything that they need to honor a dead man. And along the way to the tomb, what were they expecting to see? They were expecting to see a corpse. That's why they had the spices ready, right? So why were they expecting that? Why? I mean, they had seen Jesus raise the dead many times. I mean, they watched him give life back to others more than once. But something about this death, this death of Jesus that they watched so painfully die, it just felt different. They watched it happen. Every single detail, that death to them, it felt final. So they did what anything that they could do, what love does when the hope is gone, they show up anyway. They show up to do the very last kind thing that they can do. Now look at verse 3. Look what happens at this point. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now I would imagine it'd be like today. We'd show up, we come and bring all our flowers and our well wishes to the family, and we get there with the flowers and the casket's sitting there open for the viewing, and there's not a body. It'd be kind of strange, wouldn't it? I mean, you wouldn't know whether to weep or to wonder. And that's what these women did. They came expecting death, but it wasn't there. Now, I want to ask you something, and I want you to think about it and to answer it honestly and to yourself. Are you living as though death still wins? Are you living as though death still wins? As though your sin is too strong to be conquered? As though your circumstances are too heavy to be changed? As though the best you can hope for is just to show up and somehow go through the motions? Because that's where these women were. They were devoted, yes. They were faithful, yes. They were showing up, yes. But they did so without any real expectation that anything was about to change. They had none. And I think if we're honest, I think that's more of us than we'd like to admit. We come to Jesus with devotion, but oftentimes we come without the hope. We're basically tending a grave when we should be celebrating a great victory. But there's grace in this passage for us. Jesus didn't reject them for coming with the expectations that they had, did he? He didn't turn them away for their lack of faith and unbelief. No, he met them. Right there in the graveyard, right there in their confusion, he sent messengers. He sent these two men, angels, to redirect them, redirect who Jesus is, because that is who Jesus is. You see, God moves always towards confused people. He moves towards them. He doesn't move away from them. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're not sure if you might have enough faith for all this, well, guess what? I mean, these women are proof. Exhibit A. They didn't either. They didn't get it. They came with burial spices for a dead man, and Jesus met them anyway. He met them anyway, and he will meet you too in your disbelief. He will meet you not because somehow your devotion earned it, but because his grace doesn't require you to have it all figured out. Okay, so the women, now they're standing at the tomb. They're in the tomb, spices in their hands, empty grave, nobody in the grave, and they're completely lost. And this is the moment that everything changes, and it brings us to our second question and point. Why do you seek the living among the dead? If you would look at verse 4. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. These women, they're standing there paralyzed. They don't know what to think. They don't know at this point what to even feel. And they came to the tomb expecting a dead body, and the dead body is gone. And so they're sitting there in total confusion, and God does what God does, and he blesses them by sending an angel. And listen to what the angels don't do. They don't do this. They don't say, "All right, girls, look at the evidence. Draw your own conclusions." He doesn't say, "Consider the possibilities." He doesn't try to appeal to them on human reason. He doesn't try to appeal to them on somehow human experience or human emotion. No, he doesn't do any of that. What does he do? What do those angels do? They appeal to them by the word of God. Verse 5. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And that question, it comes all the way to us, right into this room at this very moment. Why are you looking for life in the place of death? And then in verse 6, here it is. Remember how he told you? Listen to that phrase, underline it in your Bibles, highlight it, bold it. Remember how he told you. While he was still alive, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day he will rise. Remember how he told you? Remember You see, the angels, they're pointing to the women, to the one thing and one thing only. It's to the Word. Not feelings. Not your circumstances. Not the evidence of everything that's there. The Word. Remember what He told you. Remember what He told you. It's the Word. Because here's what you must understand. The empty tomb by itself, it doesn't produce faith. It doesn't. Somehow that rolled away, huge, humongous stone by itself, that evidence, it doesn't produce faith. The missing body, where is it? That by itself doesn't produce faith. Only the Word of God produces faith. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. It's by the Word. It's how it's always worked. That's how it still works, and it's how it will always work. It's by the Word of Christ, by the Word of God. And what does that word say? Jesus said in Luke 9:22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And then He said it again in Luke 18, the Son of Man will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and after flogging Him, they will kill Him, and on the third day He will rise. Beloved, this wasn't an accident. This wasn't a surprise. This wasn't somehow plan B. This was the very eternal decree of God for the universe. He planned this before the very foundation of the world, and it was prophesied over and over and over again through centuries and centuries, and even predicted by Christ Himself. And what was that plan? It was that the Son of God would go to the cross. And on the cross, He would take what you and I deserve, the full penalty for every sin you've ever committed, every sin that you're committing right this moment in the chair, every sin that you'll commit for the rest of your life. All of it. Every single sin, it's placed upon Him. Not because somehow you asked for it, not because you deserve it, but because God loved you before you ever, ever loved Him. And He sent His Son to die in your place. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. And He did that to prove that the sacrifice is sufficient. That the debt has been paid. And there is nothing, if you are in Christ, that is left for you to pay. And it's in God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing that He executed this exact day exactly when He said it would happen. Not one day earlier, not one day later. No, it was on the third day. Exactly as He said it would happen. And He rose. You see, the Word of God cannot fail. It cannot fall to the ground. It cannot fall void. What God says, God does. What God promises, beloved, God delivers. Now, before we move on, I want you to notice something maybe you've missed. And as I was reading it over and over this week, it kind of hit me. The fact that God sent these angels to remind the women. That in itself is such an act of grace. Because as we've already said, they've already heard Jesus say all this. They've heard Him say all this. He told them in Galilee. He told them on the road. He told them more than once, and they forgot. And can I just say, I know that's me. It's every one of us. We forget. We're forgetful people. We forget the gospel every single day. We wake up tomorrow morning on Monday and we forget somehow that we're still loved. We forget that we're forgiven. We forget, beloved, that the tomb is still empty. And we start living like it's Saturday all over again. Like God is silent, like nothing has changed, like we're out on our own somehow all of a sudden because it's not Sunday. And the beauty of this passage, I just want you to pause here for a minute and see it. God doesn't abandon forgetful people. He sends messengers to remind them. He doesn't say, you know what, I've already told you once, go figure it out. He doesn't do that. He says, remember. Because that's who he is. He pursues confused people by his word. He pursues them not to scold them. He does so to rescue confused people. So what does all this mean for each of us? Well, it's simply this. If you're living your life based on your feelings, if you're doing that, you're going to be confused every day of your life. You are. If you're living it based on your feelings, you are going to be confused. If you're living your life based even on your circumstances about what's happening to you or what somebody has done to you, you're going to be tossed all over the place. You are. But if you plant your feet in the very word of God, you will never, ever be shaken. Never. Because the same God who said on the third day he will rise and he delivered it to the letter is the same God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's the same God, so full of steadfast love. You see, the resurrection is the ultimate proof that every word God speaks is true. Every promise, every prophecy, every declaration of love that he gives out of mercy and grace over each and every one of your sinful souls, all of it is guaranteed by the empty tomb. You see, you don't interpret the Bible through your circumstances. You interpret your circumstances through the Bible. The Bible's the foundation. And the Bible says he's been risen. And if he's risen, then everything that he says is true, and everything that he's promised, beloved, is yours, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can take it away from you. That's the hope that we have in eternal life through a risen Savior if you believe in him. And that brings us to our last question. And our third point, what will you do with the empty tomb? As you leave here, what will you do with the empty tomb? I want you to ponder that now and later today. I want you to see something in these final verses that you dare not miss. You see, when you look at all these different people that saw and heard about that empty tomb, nobody goes home the same. Nobody. Look at verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. You see, the women came to the tomb as mourners, and yet they left as witnesses. They didn't go home and prepare for the day and make breakfast. No, they ran and they told everyone that they could find. You see, when you encounter the risen Christ, you can't stay the same. It's impossible. You can't do it. The resurrection isn't just a piece of information that you just stick away and you file away. No, it's the living reality that literally grabs you by the shoulders and demands a response. And indeed, these women did respond. They went and they did what? They proclaimed. They went and told. So you have the women, and then you have the apostles in verse 11. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. So at first, they didn't believe. And you might look at this and say, well, the apostles didn't change. They didn't get it. But you'd be wrong. Even the apostles, they couldn't remain unchanged by this news. Yes, they rejected it here in verse 11, but they couldn't ignore it. They sat there and they thought about it and pondered it and sat on it, and it pressed on them and it confronted them. And within days, every single one of them believed. Within weeks, they were out proclaiming it in the streets of Jerusalem. And within years, every one of them was dying for it. The resurrection wouldn't let them stay the same. It wouldn't let them go back to their fishing boats. It wouldn't let them go back to their tax booths, live as if just nothing happened at all. Because something did happen. The most important event in all the history of the very world happened. And you can't encounter that and walk away just untouched. And then you have Peter in verse 12. Look with me. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter goes home marveling, not yet celebrating, not yet preaching, but completely unable to go back to normal. Now, here's where I want to focus in on this last point here is Peter, because I think, if I'm right, a lot of us are Peter. This is the person that most of you need to hear about this morning. And think about who Peter is. Think about who he is right at this moment, right in this point in time of history, right when he went home marveling. And think about 3 days ago, 3 days earlier, he sat by a fire. And what did he do? He denied Jesus 3 times. He cursed him and he swore to him. He said, I don't know this man. 3 days earlier, and then the rooster crowed, and as soon as the rooster crowed, Jesus turns and looks at Peter. And Peter leaves and he weeps bitterly. That was 3 days ago. And I can imagine Peter has been drowning in the grief of that very moment since then. You see, if Jesus is still dead, then Peter's denial is the end of his story. That shame, it's going to define who Peter is. That guilt will follow him forever. There's no way for him, for Peter, to make it right. But if Jesus is alive, then maybe there's another page. Maybe there's another chapter to the worst chapter that he just had in his life. Maybe, just maybe, grace is real. It's bigger than what Peter did. Beloved, I think that's why Peter runs. He doesn't run to the grave with a bold faith. No, he runs with such a desperate hope. And some of you this morning, you might be Peter this morning. You failed in certain ways that just haunt you every day. You've wandered off in ways that you're ashamed of. And you're sitting here wondering, can any of this really be for me? And I want to tell you what happened next. Jesus finds Peter a couple days later. And when Jesus saw Peter, he didn't come up to him and say, you know what, Peter, you're disqualified. You know what, Peter, you are so unworthy of being an apostle. Peter, I can't believe what you did while I was dying on that cross, what I was doing for not only you, but everyone who believes in me. No, he didn't say any of that. Jesus said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter had three denials. And Jesus, beloved, he had three restorations. Forgiveness. Grace. Beloved, hear me. Your moment, whatever it might be, how hard and awful it might be, it's not your last moment. Beloved, grace. Grace gets the final word. Just as Jesus did for Peter. It's grace. Now, I want to say something to everybody who's here today, because normal is over. Normal is over because you've now heard what these women have heard. You've been told what the angels declared, that he is not here, that he is risen. And you can't unhear that. You can't unhear that this morning. You can't reject it like the apostles did in verse 11. It just won't leave you alone. I mean, you can marvel at it like Peter did, but you just can't go home unsettled. You can't and you won't go home unchanged. You see, the empty tomb, it demands a verdict. It demands a response from everyone who encounters it, because if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then he's exactly who he claimed he would be. He is who he said he'd be. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. The only Savior for sinners. And if he rose from the dead, then every word he spoke is true. Every promise he made is binding. And every command he gave, he has authority. And every human being who's ever lived or ever will live will stand before him to give an account. That's what's at stake this morning. It's not some nice, feel-good Easter tradition about springtime and new beginnings and Easter bunnies. No, it's the bodily resurrection of the Son of God from the dead. The bodily resurrection of the Son of God from the dead. It won't let you stay the same. So I'm asking you this morning, what are you going to do with this empty tomb? What are you going to do? Are you going to walk out of here and just live your life just the way you've been living it? As it just doesn't matter? Or are you going to let this truth grip your very soul and let it change everything? Beloved, don't walk out of here and just go back to your normal life. Because hear me, the tomb is empty. It's empty, and the Christ who walked out of it is alive right now. And the Christ who walked out, and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he is the King. Beloved, this isn't just some nice suggestion. He is the Lord. He's the only Redeemer for sinners such as you and for me. So I want to leave you with this. If you belong to Christ this morning, if you've trusted in his death and his resurrection for your salvation, then everything that the empty tomb guarantees is yours. Walk out believing that. Walk out celebrating it, rejoicing in it, because your sins are forgiven. Not partially, but fully. Your future, beloved, is secure. It's not a maybe, it's a certainty. And your death, beloved, when you die, because there is a day coming when you die, it's been swallowed up in his victory, in Jesus' victory. And nothing you face as you walk out that door today, nothing you face is bigger. I promise you, nothing is bigger than the Christ that walked out of that tomb. And if you don't yet belong to him, hear me. He is alive right now, and he is inviting you to come to him. Not tomorrow, today. Not when you're ready, right now. Right now. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.